Hi, this is Paul Siegel, and you're listening to Wandering DMs. Wandering DMs is broadcast live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/wanderingdms and youtube.com/wanderingdms/live. And now, on with the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Wandering DMs. I'm Paul.
And I'm Dan. Today is our year in review 2025. Welcome, everybody. We're going to recall deep dives into D&D rules, campaign structure, and special guests. What has changed our play the most this year? And what are your favorites? All that and more today on Wandering DMs.
Before we get into our last discussion of the year, I will remind everyone that at the end of the show, we'll be hosting our last live chat of the year. There's a live video chat that Dan and I host on our Discord server, and you can join in. Just become a patron. Visit patreon.com/wanderingdms, and you'll get an invite to our private Discord server. Get your account set up over there, and around 10 or 15 minutes after the end of the episode, Dan and I will be there to chat with you all live.
Well, I don't know if I've said this before, but, you know, we have the best patrons and the best viewers out there, frankly. And so really huge thanks to everybody that watches the show. For example, Backwius is checking in that we are currently live on Twitch and YouTube and Restream. So thank you for checking in on that.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. Man, season 7? Holy crap, we've been doing this for 7 years?
And a little bit more too, I guess. Right? We started like in a November, December at some point. So, yeah, right?
Yeah. I guess that's true. That must have just got rolled into season 1, right? That wasn't like a non.
Yes, it did. Okay. And you know, 7. You know, some people say it's a lucky number, but you don't even have a platonic solid with that many sides. So myself, I'm kind of looking forward to 2026 when we have. We can use a D8 for the logo. Yeah, I'm always a little irritated by non-platonic numbers, but
oh goodness! I just got into a whole discussion at work with some coworkers about what's inside a magic 8-ball, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's a D20, and somebody was trying to convince me that it was like 16 sides, and I was like, no. No, I can tell by the shape of the face, it's triangle. I'm pretty sure that's a D20. Anyway.
You're correct. It's an icosahedron, yeah. You can look up online the traditional 20 options on a Magic 8 Ball.
Yeah, I'm sure you can also find people smashing them open to reveal the 20-sider that's in there. Anyway.
Guys, we have a comment already. We have a comment already that I'm going to pull out that I have to say. So another Eric is saying that I hate prime numbers, and that's not true. If you're making a hash table, we all know that a prime number is the best option. You should size your hash tables to prime numbers. Things just work out really nicely. Come on, don't badmouth me.
Yeah, this geometry that Dan's got to bug up his ass about. Which I don't know. I have plenty of those weird dice. I probably have a D7. I probably have a D7 kicking around here somewhere.
Yes, I know. You know, you people. You people and your D7 bullshit.
It's just a D13 with 1 through 7 on it twice, Dan. Does that make you feel better?
I am this close to losing my shit here, man. You gotta back off. Oh, I'm just barely holding it together here.
So here we are, Dan. End of year. Something I found interesting is that this year we had the exact same number of episodes as last year, and that's not by design. Right, we try to do this every week, and then sometimes life happens and gets in the way. And obviously, we have our couple of weeks off at the end of the year. I think the most theoretically we could possibly do is 50. We got to 41. Not bad, but amusing that's exactly the number we had last year.
Interesting. And it's, you know, a prime number. So I can embrace that.
Back to the math of it.
I think that's good, and I'm glad that as you Paul have said a number of times, you know, fundamentally we do this because we enjoy it. We enjoy talking about it. We enjoy thinking about it with the two of us or whatever friends we can rope into it. So I think that it's still fun for us every Sunday. It really is a highlight of my week every week. So I think that feels good to me.
Yeah. So let's retrospect then. Like what as you look back on season 7 or just the last year of Wandering DMs related things, because I know there are a few actually standout interesting things that don't actually land in the normal episode chain. What jumps out at you?
Well, one thing for me is that this was, and it's funny because this probably doesn't get enough attention in the public, you know, zeitgeist. This was the 50th year of the supplements, of the first two supplements to original D&D. So we did have episodes on the Greyhawk supplement and the Blackmoor supplement to original D&D back in 1975. And, you know, Greyhawk really radically changed the fundamental shape of the D&D game in a lot of ways. And started, you know, changed how ability scores work, changed how class hit dice and experience and spells work, radically changed how the spell tables look, and a whole lot of other things. And, you know, I think part of our conversation is we're not entirely convinced of all of the things that popped up in that first most important supplement that really set most of what happened later in Advanced D&D and second edition and third and stuff like that. So 1975 was kind of a real bellwether year for what came before versus what came after. And of course, last year was the 50th anniversary of D&D as a whole. So that got a whole lot of attention. And it has been on my mind what a shift happened just within a year later. And I'm glad that we covered that when not, I think, a whole lot of other outlets did that this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, Greyhawk is definitely the missing link between OD&D and AD&D. Mm-hmm. Right? That's a lot of the things that I've come to associate with D&D, where you go, really, that's missing in OD&D? When was it introduced? The answer mm-hmm. is typically Greyhawk.
Yeah. Magic missile. Wasn't any magic missile before that, among other things.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's going to be more anniversaries of supplements next year, right? Good. I hope we're going to have an episode about the Gods, Demigods, and Heroes supplement. Everybody loves. We're going to have an episode on Eldritch Wizardry. Yes. Oh my.
Really? This definitely gets into the weeds of the original edition where I like, why?
we'll see if that comes to fruition. That's fine. It's all good.
Okay.
Now one thing that pops out to me, Paul, is that we did our first Dungeon Design Dash live in person. Yes. And this was back in April. We did that at Rising Phoenix Game Con. We had a great time with people actually, and we both did it with people in the room, and we did it live online. And we also had a review episode that we did after that. So that was our first trotting that out into the physical world. And we're going to try that a second time. And if viewers haven't heard that, we are now officially on the docket for GaryCon 2026 to run a Dungeon Dash, live Dungeon Design Dash at GaryCon early next year. Not entirely sure what the scheduling is on that, but we do have confirmation from the GaryCon team, like Skip Williams, that we are actually going to be doing that.
And I will add, we will also be doing it again at Rising Phoenix Game Con in April. So we'll get no less than two of those next year, possibly more. We'll see. It definitely was a great time. I super enjoyed it. I feel like I learned a million lessons, so I'm definitely excited to do it again. Mm-hmm. I will remember my copy of Tome of Adventure Design this time and not have to dig it up on PDF. Yep. And and hopefully more of us than also running those games at the convention. I felt that was an exciting part of that experience as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Figure out.
So we're really looking forward to that. I think I need to book my flight now that I'm saying that. You've already booked your flight, but I need to do that.
To Garrigon, I've not actually. I've not. Under advisement by the Google robots who told me that the prices of those flights are still quite high and I should wait a little longer. So
Good.
Robot fault. But but we have our tickets. The event is submitted. We will be there, come hell or high water. We will be there and we will be running Dungeon Design Dash. So if you're going to be at Garrigon or if you're going to be at Rising Phoenix Game Con, please come. Please come and hang out with us. And if not, check out the stream. Those streams will be at unusual times, right? So those will probably not be normal episodes that will happen. Probably earlier in the weekend would be my guess, right? Probably like a Friday or a Saturday kind of thing.
Correct. And we try to do them. Yeah, try to do them a little bit early in the con, and then we can actually play test them in sessions later on. So maybe Thursday, maybe Friday, possibly.
Yeah. No. It is definitely a little Wild West with sort of what is the internet like at the venue of the game convention. It is absolutely our intention to live stream those, and so love for everybody to tune in. There is always the chance that the internet goblins do not let that happen. Regardless, we will also make sure that it is recorded. So even if it's not live, it will definitely show up on the channel.
Yes. So we love doing those, and we love getting folks' input that we things that we wouldn't think of ourselves. So the more the merrier. Just like our D&D tables, the more the merrier is our policy. So we'll try to do. We'll have even more than those two. But I'm really looking forward to, and a little bit intimidated by doing that at GaryCon.
Yeah.
Go team.
So there's a question in the chat about other live streamed content. There's a little call out there for Dan for a live Wizard War. I don't know if that's on your radar to ever do again. We did though do my birthday game this past year did get live streamed, and that was
Skull Mountain. Hell yeah. And I would say it's been too long that we haven't been able to do that. So we did that immediately before COVID. And that was in the back of my head. Frankly, that's what it's all about. So getting together physically with you and our other friends and having a whole weekend of getting to actually play D&D at the table. That is my favorite thing to do. I'm glad that we get to share it with our other friends online now. It's great. And I wish that we could do that every single year. And we did have some so the fact that we got to finally do it again, I have been chomping at the bit for you can't think of how long. Was a really great number of live sessions that we have in a separate playlist for the Skull Mountain playthrough. And you did a great job DMing that, Paul.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And it showed up in our episodes later, right? Because I think we ended up talking about pacing a lot as a result of that. Mm-hmm. What a surprise.
Yes, right.
That content is way too much, even for a weekend long game. And so I definitely had to do a little off the cuff editing as we were playing. So I think that came up a few times. Yeah, super fun. We should, I do miss, we used to do more actual play on this channel, right? We used to have some other campaigns going. So we haven't done that in a while, and it's nice to have that come back.
And, we're only human beings. We're mortal men. So, scheduling priority type issues. And to the question of like Wizards Warzone, I would absolutely love to do that, frankly, as a live stream. I would absolutely love to do more Book of War stuff when we get time, and just looking for the right time to make all that stuff happen. So thank you for reminding us, because those are absolutely things I'd like to do. I wish I could clone myself. I wish I had the 8th level clone spell, frankly, and I could have a couple more of me on tap right? Or my, or you know, my paranoia crush or whatever, however you would call it, I could pull out and say, you do this, you do that, you do that. And I'm sure we get along great. I only read the first paragraph of the spell. I'm sure that it ends fine.
I think even if it wasn't an extra Dan, I think there are some cases where we could use an extra pair of hands. I was just thinking of, you know, another great game that we got to run last year was a game for our dear friend Toby, where you and I co-DM'd a game, which we haven't done in a long time, and that was super fun. And that's something we talk about a lot, but we've never been able to live stream it because who would run the cameras? Who would do the tech if both of us are co-DMing a game? We need a third wandering DM to help us out, I think.
Yeah. You're right.
That was a great game too, though. That was and that was an instance of us also again running one of our dungeon design dashes, right? Which are starting to accumulate, mm-hmm. which I'm happy about. I was hoping we would see more of them get published, but we're churning them out as fast as we can. And running them, right? We're running them more, which I think is I love that we get to run them.
Yeah, it's starting to become kind of a nice resource that if we do go to a convention or a tournament, something like that, we're starting to have a library of those that we can pick from. They work very nicely, actually, in a convention 4-hour slot. So having that as a resource is actually kind of benefiting us at the moment. So something else that came up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, in terms of actually running games, also we've talked a lot about your Star Frontiers game. Is that still ongoing? Are we going to hear more about that in season 8?
Okay, thank you for bringing that up. So,
yeah.
Okay, so this is campaign binder of my Star Frontiers Volturnus adventure. Yeah, I'm glad you asked. We're just playing Friday night, and we are in the climactic end game of that three adventure series with the Star Frontiers. We've been enjoying it so much. I personally have really been enjoying that system, frankly. That has really worked really well with my brain. And we're probably going to have one more session. So if that's going to be maybe right before New Year's or maybe right after New Year's, we're probably going to have one single more session. We just confirmed today that we can get everybody back together that we're looking forward to. And kind of nice to know that we have this, that we know when the closing episode is probably going to be. And I also I hadn't thought about this, but the adventure is kind of nicely bookended by, you know, there's this whole campaign area, but at least for this particular adventure, it opens with the players getting dropped. Maybe this isn't the only property that does this. It starts with the players getting dropped on this wilderness planet, having to fight for survival. And if they succeed, no guarantee, if they succeed, they, you know, hopefully they've got a message out and they get picked up by rescue operations. And then that will be the end of the end of the campaign. And it's kind of funny that you never actually saw the civilized galactic, you know, society that's outside this particular planet, which kind of feels really, really nice to me. And I, you know, there are times when it's like, should we continue the campaign on a different level? And it's just such a nice little book ending that I'm kind of orbiting towards. I kind of don't want to, but I've really enjoyed getting back to the Star Frontiers system from the 80s. It works really well for me. I like this percentile system, frankly. It's intuitive to the players. I think that someone could come and say, oh, it's a relatively simple system compared to, you know, like modern D&D, but I think it's just what we wanted. It's just as much stuff as our players wanted to dig into. And I haven't heard any complaints about like, oh, I want more skills and more classes or anything like that. So that's actually been a real delight. We've been playing for 2 years, and yeah, I'm going to need something else next year.
Do you think you'll run more Star Frontiers, or has this scratched that itch and it's time to go try something different?
You know, I kind of want to. Great question, and yeah. I do kind of want to run more Star Frontiers. I like the elegance of that particular
that particular percentile type system.
Does it lend itself at all to convention play? Is it something you might bring to one of the cons that we're attending?
Yeah, I've done that at least once in the past. So I think that's total. And I do think that a new player sitting down, I can say, here's what you're going to do. You got percentile dice. You want to roll under a percentage number. I think that's pretty easy to digest. So I kind of like that.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been a really, nice. That's I've really been really great this year.
I've been without an ongoing campaign for some time, which of course I feel really odd about. Both miss it just as a person who likes to play this kind of stuff, and strange here hosting a show talking about campaigns of D&D that I don't really do anymore. But I'm happy to say that I'm just starting to see something kick up myself. I've mentioned a few times in a few episodes recently, as we touched on West Marches, that I have this group that is starting to play. We've actually got our second game scheduled. It's a little slower going than I hope it lands on. And so it's still questionable about whether this is going to really blow up into a big full-fledged West Marches campaign, or if this is just going to become an odd group that shows up once in a while to play another game with. But either way, I'm excited to have an open-ended campaign style game to play, which I haven't done in ages.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. That's fantastic. And that did spawn a couple of conversations about West Marches, and it also just coincidentally tied into the advertising maybe for the current Critical Role series that's on, that has been using that term, if nothing else. And I really enjoyed the conversation we had about, is that actually West Marches and what does that mean? As a matter of fact, how much is this game that you're queuing up to run working like that now?
I mean, it really will come down to the motivation of players and whether or not there's enough of them who are into it that want to do it versus just one regular group who just wants to keep getting back together, right? It could just land in that territory where we just have enough players that they want to play together occasionally, and it just becomes a more of a regular campaign that just happens to schedule itself a little more ad hoc than a normal campaign. We do have a big Discord server full of people, so if things start splintering off, that'd be fine with that. We have, I think, 8 players coming to the next game.
Nice.
Which is all the original people plus one additional person that we didn't have last time.
Great.
I guess we'll see if that splinters off or not.
It seems, I mean, and 8 players is I think large for maybe modern gaming, or maybe it's always been relatively large, but it is in some sense traditional that your tournament games were usually gauged for 8 players, and therefore most of the classic D&D modules expected 8 players. So it kind of warms my heart to have a nice platonic number like 8 at the table. That's the appropriate number of people at the table. Why don't more people do that more often? You gotta have either 4 or 6 or 8 and not the other stuff.
So we've been running the Quest RPG, although using OSR content with the Quest RPG, which I'm really enjoying. I think honestly, even in that setting, 8 is a lot. It's probably as big a table as I would want, and I wouldn't mind it if it was smaller. Which is part of what makes me think it could wander into West Marches territory, because that is a lot of people. It's difficult to organize 8 people, 9 people, including myself's schedules. Maybe we'll see some smaller groups who decide like, oh, we want to play on this weekend and not everyone's available, so let's go. And then, you know, this is the kind of exactly the way these sort of things can tend to snowball, right? Is then the people who weren't able to make it go, oh man, I really wanted to play a game and now we're behind, right? And then it goes on from there. So maybe that'll happen, but again, I'm not trying to force it or anything. We'll see what happens. Either way, I'm enjoying getting to know Quest. It's an interesting system. And we've been playing, I've forgotten the name of the title of the adventure. The module is the something Worm of Brandensford. Oh, man. The Black Worm of Brandensford. That's what it is. I wanted it to be more evocative than just black. Okay. Yes, the Black Worm of Brandisford, which is a great module. Great module. Strongly recommend.
Yeah. Great.
Excellent. Was originally written for BX and is adapted to Quest very well.
Nice. Super nice. Like I've said it before, we've played two Quest campaigns with our friend Max running it. We've had a great time. I had two characters that I were very, actually three, because one died. I had three characters that I was very fond of in Quest. So it works. It works very well.
Nice. Yeah.
Super.
Yeah, I've played it a few times with Max Helm. I've never run it myself. This is my first chance running it. So I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Great. That's fantastic. Now, another thing came up this year, and partly on, you know, it ties a little bit to, it's maybe this point of our life, it's a little harder to get games together, is that you did some experimentation this year with possibly using a chatbot as a DM in a D&D game. So there's a playlist, I think, with a couple episodes outside our normal Sunday show, and then we did a preview review in the Sunday show. So you had a chatbot called Martha, right? Martha, the automatic AI. DM.
Martha, the AI DM is the name of the series. What did I do? Three or four sessions with her?
I think so.
That was super fun, and not, you know, I think I was on the kind of leading edge of doing that, which now these days I think is much more common. There's a lot of people, there's whole companies and games that are built up around this. You know, this character AI and Friends and Fables and just a variety of other products for playing role-playing games with an AI at the helm. It was a super great learning experience for me. And it dovetailed in very strongly with the kind of work I do for my normal day-to-day. So that was, again, very helpful for me for my learning experience. And fun. I had a good time doing it. I don't know if I would go back to it, be honest, at this point.
That was my question.
Well, for one thing, it's just too much like work at this point. It's the kind of stuff I am exactly working on. So then the other problem is just the limitations of AI are difficult. I don't think anybody's really cracked this nut yet. I think, like, if you play one of the games that I've mentioned online, they all show kind of the common problems that AI has: poor spatial reasoning, not enough memory. It's a little sycophantic, so it you can steamroll it pretty easily. A lot of these problems just they show up. So I don't know. It's fun. It's interesting. I'm curious to see where it goes. I'm of course invested in where it goes because, like I said, it's the kind of stuff I work on for my day job, but I probably won't see me stream much more of that on this channel.
Good to know in advance. It's funny you say there's a whole lot of companies that do this. I mean, it's only been 10 months.
It's only been
10 months since you did that. And you're just like, oh, well, nowadays there's all kinds of companies doing this kind of thing. And I'm like, that was all within the year of 2025.
Yep. Sure was. I think it's yeah, I don't know. It makes a lot of sense. It seems like the kind of thing that AI should be good at. You know, there's one experiment I never did do, which I'm still have in the back of my head. Maybe someday I'll do this because it was mentioned to me a couple of times while I was running it, which was, instead of having an AI DM for me, what if I tried to play test my material with all AI players? And that is a fascinating idea. I think if you tried to do it with like multiple AI agents, one for each player, it would be utter chaos and it would fall to pieces. But maybe you could do a one-on-one game where the AI is controlling all of the characters. I don't know. It would be interesting to try it out.
What pops into my head is start with a solo module. So we had a couple solo modules available that we played on the stream back in COVID when we were locked down, just you and me. Yep. Are the most popular video that you've ever made here on the channel, Paul, is Can You Play D&D Solo? So maybe dig into that, grab one of those solo adventures and see how it does just with one to begin with, and then expand from there. Maybe
it seems less entertaining to me personally. Yeah. Though I do like it as a tool for the sake of like playtesting. If I was writing the material and I was like, oh, I want to playtest this, let me get an AI to run through it, I think that would be interesting.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I don't know if it would it would scratch the itch of getting to play the game.
I can totally see that. And with as the player, you're encountering the surprises, and of course as DM you're revealing surprises. So it's I can totally understand why that might be the case.
Yeah. Hmm.
Now I kind of want to run. However, I don't have that block. So now I kind of want to run like maybe the Marvel game Thunder over Jotunheim with a chatbot and see what happens. That said, I'm not, you know, part of my biggest grief, frankly, is the sycophancy issue. Particularly, you know, we run games that are a little bit more gritty, a little bit more, you know, playing with Dan is a punishment. is the new product we're going to have in the store soon. So the fact that the AI is designed to be exactly the opposite of that is one of the main tonal problems that I have confronting that. So I don't know if I serve up the punishing DM rulings, how the AI would respond.
I mean,
possibly not.
I'm
well.
Sure it would be about it. It's not going to fight you. It's not going to be one of those players, Dan, who's going to say, damn it, I hate you, I'm going to get you. And they'd be like, yep, you're right. Yeah,
I don't know. Right. I don't know. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But then on the other hand, it will like very confidently walk into hallucination territory and just like very confidently misremember things and get things wrong and assume that it's right. So it may challenge you to stay on top of it on the rules. Say, no, you're wrong. That's not how that works.
Stop. Well, okay, now that feels like some actual players. That feels like some actual players that I deal with. That doesn't seem totally alien.
It'd be interesting to check that out.
Interesting. Write that down.
Yeah, we should maybe talk a little bit about our special guests we had this year. Part of the show. Yeah,
we had trouble counting them before pre-show here, actually.
Yeah, it's because I tried to make AI help me, and it turns out AI sucks at counting.
We finally made a computer that's bad at math.
We did. We did. So eight over the course of the year. I think that's about what we've always wanted, right? I think in terms of like when we talked about the pacing of having... Sometimes they tend to bunch up, which is a little too bad. But, you know, people's schedules are people's schedules. But I think, you know, no more than once a month is really what I would want out of that. So that's, we had eight.
I agree. Yeah, back there was a time in the past where we said, yeah, maybe one a month is good. And then we discovered that there's a busy season, for maybe product promotion. In the spring, and particularly in the fall, around September, October is where a lot of stuff come out, and therefore people have it on their minds, and our guests are available. So you're right that it's not homogeneous; it's a little bit bunched up. But that's great, and gets some excitement on our show. So we love that.
And quite a few returning guests to the point where, like, I remember us having several conversations about whether or not jackets or pins or something should be made for our guests. Who have now made it back, nearing double digits of episodes, right? I think we had someone show up at eight times. Is that right? Am I right about that, or is it only
it's something like that? It's six or seven. Now Backwaves can probably help us out because usually he's the one that gives us the count when it comes up. Now I will say, okay, so I will reveal that behind the scenes, there's been a slight bit of debate, and I've caused the debate. So I apologize to everybody involved. There's a little bit of debate. About whether the first signifier should be five, you've been on five times, which is kind of traditional, and there's no dice for that, and it's what other people do. Versus my argument that it should be at four, where you level up to become a hero, and then another award when you hit eight and you're a superhero was my pitch. that. So viewers, I mean, leave a comment and tell us whether it should be four or five where the first award gets given out.
Acquiesce says, chimed in the chat and told us that Matt Finch is at seven. Seven episodes we've had Matt Finch in for. So he's pushing them this year. I think a little bit this is we're making fun of SNL, right? And their five time host jacket joke that they talk about. But yeah. But there's something satisfying about the hero and the superhero and or something. Yeah.
And then there's a point where you could be, you know, Lord 12th level, Lord 16th level, Lord.
There is, you know, if we went with five, though, then by the time you get to 10, you can say you're a name level guest, which is, I don't know, that's pretty nice.
Yeah. You know, okay, so it was Gamma Dan on the Discord server, and viewers, remember, like Paul said at the top of the show, every tier on our Patreon gets you access to our private Discord server. So our private Discord server has a leveling bot that keeps track of your experience for how many comments you've made and then reports on a level that you are on the Discord server. And so Gamma Dan, I believe this morning or maybe yesterday, hit level 15 and he started complaining that I'm a BX player. There isn't any level 15. What do I do about that?
Oh no. Greg kicking and screaming and protect me. Yeah.
So okay. So we had Matt Finch has hit seven. We had, and again, thanks, Bacrius. So Luke Gygax hit five this year. He was talking about Gary Kahn. When we had Matt Finch on this year, we were talking about OSR version 3, which is exciting. Old school Renaissance gaming version 3. And then Keith Amon was on late in the year for his fourth appearance with his new book that's out now called Making Enemies, about constructing new monsters in D&D or other games, frankly. And it's a fascinating book when we talked about that. He has a bunch of really interesting in-depth philosophical interviews with other people in the industry along the way that I kind of adored. So that is currently available from Keith. We also talked to Shannon Applecline, I think around September, with his four-volume series on D&D Origins, where he has a write-up on every single D&D published product from the early days. I think original up through first edition, I believe, is what he does. So really enormous work that Shannon's putting out. Well, we talked to Bill Webb, which I adored. So Bill Webb, the wild man of Necromancer games. and you know, when we sat in with live games from Bill at GaryCon in the past, that was kind of revolutionary in some ways for our experience of like one option for running a huge game with 25, 35 people in the room, which we probably wouldn't have believed was possible until we actually saw Bill do that. So I was really happy to get to talk to Bill Webb this year. And then who else did we have? So we had Tom. We had Tom McGrenery from Fear of a Black Dragon early in the year, which was fantastic.
I'm a big fan of his podcast, and I was excited to get to chat with him.
That was a get for Paul, to be clear. Paul got Tom for us, which was fantastic. And then one thing that I was really happy with is we got to speak with our Alex Murray, who is an actor and was in the live D&D theater show here in New York City that ran for about 2 years, called 20 Sided Tavern. And as some of you may know, I did audition for that and didn't get into the cast. So I was really happy to hear what Alex's experience was as they wrapped up that show in New York this year. So really, really interesting. Again, you know, pros and cons about what's it like to do a show of D&D versus what is it like to play D&D normally. And I have a lot of friends here who do acting in New York, so that was a really interesting insight of one of the things that you could do with this hobby.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, and Bacchus is reminding us, of course, we had Bob Salvatore on.
Yes, I don't know right. At least by this point. My list is too deep. Of course, so we were talking about his new book, Finest Edge of Twilight. Thank you so much for the reminder. Finest Edge of Twilight, about Drizzt's daughter now. So continuing that whole epic with new characters in that family. So got to talk to him about the current, how things have evolved over the years and how D&D rules and D&D sensibilities have possibly changed some stuff that he needs to deal with in his book. So I was really glad to contact Bob Salvatore again this year. Thanks for the reminder there.
Yeah. I'm looking back at some of our titles, Dan, of our past episodes that we did this season. And I was glad to see also we did a lot of just like pragmatic how to run or how to organize the game itself, right?
Yes.
We did an episode on whether or not you should have a DM screen or what is the best DM screen.
Right.
We did an episode on what to do if you're playing with a player who's already read the adventure.
I thought that was such a great episode, frankly. I'm so glad you must have suggested that, because I thought that was fantastic.
Such a practical, problem, I think, that like every DM faced at some point.
And I think we both ran into it like around the same time this year. Just coincidentally, we were running games and we both ran into it. And sometimes those are like the best episodes, when at least one or both of us are actually confronting that issue right then. So there just came a week where we had to deal with that. I never would have thought of that as a topic, and that was like so well timed.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. We finally did an official episode just two episodes ago on pacing, which I feel like is hilarious, because that's like our go-to topic here. How many times does our conversation circle back to pacing? nice to give that the focus of a show.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And then we got to, I think maybe it might have been the next week, we got to talk about the end section in the first edition Player's Handbook about preparing for a successful adventure. And that tied into talking about West Marches, and ideally you've got somewhat more proactive players who are making plans, making missions before you sit down at the table. And not every player is in a position where they're going to be able to engage with that. But I kind of adore that last section of the first edition Player's Handbook, of an insight of how that particular type of game was expected to be played, and how much of that stuff comes back around in the West Marches advice. So I'm glad we found, because I keep referring to that section of the book over and over again. Likewise, I'm glad we had opportunity to spend a whole hour on that.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's great. What are you looking forward to in season 8, Dan?
Yeah, I'm. Hopefully we get. I would love to get more space for more live play, like you were talking about a couple minutes back. Not 100% sure whether we're going to get that on the docket or not, but in a completely ideal world, that would be happening. I'm really looking forward to these additional dungeon design dashes that we're going to do in person at GaryCon and RPGCon, possibly some others later in the year. So that's exciting and terrifying and good and wonderful. So there's all that. I'm interested in like hearing about how your campaign evolved. So you've only had I'm wrapping up a campaign and you're just starting a campaign. So you've had one game, and I'm really interested in checking in maybe around episode 4, how it's developing and whether it looks like it has legs. So I'm kind of really curious about how that's going to work for you, actually.
I'm curious about that too, also, because this is one of my lesser planned campaigns ever. I am generally the kind of DM who likes to fly by the seat of his pants a little bit and not go in with this is the arc of the campaign, which I think is pretty different from what you're doing in
the Star Frontiers. Right?
Like you're following a very specific thing, right? And likewise, when I ran 10 Dead Rats, right? That was very specifically, we had a campaign that we were following. So it's interesting to be in this very much more freeform space of like, I don't know, I started with this adventure, but who knows where it's going to go from there. We'll see. And so I'm excited for, excited to dig into that, see what comes of that. And all new players to me, all people that I don't normally play with. So that's,
I love that.
I super enjoy that, frankly. That's, I feel like so often I hear from new players some level of embarrassment, like, oh, I've never played, I'm not going to be good at it, something like that. And I'm like, no, I love it. I always say, I love to play with players who are unencumbered by a knowledge of the rules. That's good. Get that stuff out of your head. Just be present in the fiction and do what feels right, and we'll figure it out as we go. Love that.
I was going to say the same thing, is that how funny it is that the new players usually apologize. They usually come in, they usually apologize, and Paul and I both have kind of a standard shtick now of lavishing them with praise, because we really do like to see creative, you know, creative thinking that hasn't become jaded with a particular rule set. And it does tie back to my Volturnus adventure, that due to the fact that the rule books aren't publicly available anymore, I accidentally stumbled into running the game without anybody knowing the rules initially. And part of the game is exploring the space where the player, where the characters are, but part of the game is also exploring the space of the rule set that you're confronting. And I mean, we even on Friday, a couple tidbits came out near the end here that people didn't know about. So I agree that, and if it has been a wonderful accidental experiment to run with the players not knowing the rules until something pops up. And that has been a real point of refreshment and excitement. So I recommend that.
I'm in slightly different space with Quest because I don't know it super well myself, and my players don't really know it at all. The game is very simple and rules light, so there's not really that much to dig into, except when it comes to the individual powers of the various roles, they call them, as opposed to classes. And so that's definitely been like the thing I noticed right there in that first campaign is people are coming out with like, oh, I use this ability, I use that ability. And I'm like, what is that? I got to go read it, I guess. But I enjoy just running with that and saying, all right, let's figure it out. Let's make something cool happen. So that's been a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to coming more to grips with Quest, especially being in that uncomfortable space. I know that Max warned me about of that, there's a there's a single die roll mechanic in that game, and somewhere in between success and failure lands this one mechanic of it's a, like a qualified success or something like that, where you as DM are required to give the player a difficult choice of two bad things that could happen. And I did that I think once in the first game, and I'm looking forward to being forced to do it more. It's a little bit of a little bit of masochism there, and like, yes, game, force me to invent things that that I never foresaw.
Great. Oh, I remember those moments very clearly. Where Max was like, the two things are, they're coming to me soon.
Tough. You really want it to not be great, but not be terrible and be a difficult choice, right? You don't want to give a player something obvious. Oh, clearly. Yes.
Right. Good stuff. I'll look forward to hearing about your experiences with that.
Yeah. And another minor thing that's jumping out at me on the list of topics is we've had a few different episodes on specific monster types, right? So we've done elementals, we've done lizard folk, we've done undead.
We're about mummies specifically. Our Halloween episode was specifically about mummies. Don't forget about Arr, mate, I be the pirate Black Roberts, and I be here to steal all your gold and your silver. Avast! Pirates.
Pirate.
One of my favorites.
Yes.
Right? And there's Alternus campaign, you're fighting pirates. So I got to play a lot of pirates the last 2 years. Love it. Space pirates, mate.
Are there any particular enemy types you hope that we will get to next season?
Oh, I have a list, but I'm going to keep it secret for now.
Okay. All right. That's fair. The one I keep hoping to get to, which I feel like we've come this close to doing and haven't quite done, is Liches. Because we talked about Magic Jar a bunch, and that kind of edged us into territory that is very similar to Lichhood. I was like, oh, I want to talk more about Lich. Maybe we'll see some of those.
We have stories, and we also have, I think I have one or two episodes of Book of War we played in the past where we used Liches. I think one of Gamma Dan's favorite, I've mentioned him twice now, favorite units in Book of War is a Lich on a flying beast. Which work well. I can't remember what I titled that episode. I might have titled like "What's Up, Liches," possibly, or something like that.
Amazing! That's delightful. you know, Dan, we're about out of time for season 7.
I don't understand how the time goes like that. I don't understand. Like, every week I'm stunned when we come up against the hour, and it feels like this whole year has just flown by. I remember, oh, so many things we're going to do, and we have, but my God, the time just zips by. I guess it's true when you're having fun. You got to keep track. You got to keep careful time records to have a meaningful podcast, Paul.
You do. You do. Dan, do you have any final thoughts on season 7?
You know, I got to thank you, Paul, for, you know, just being one of the hardest working people that I know, one of the friendliest people that I know, one of the most caring people for folks around him that I know. And I continue to pick up lessons about being a kind, caring human being from you, frankly. So that's always number one. And of course, big thanks to our viewers who watch, and your energy and your comments are and it's totally true. I think we have the best viewers and patrons, and just really generous commentary. Sometimes we get essays, frankly, on really interesting, informative essays on our private Discord server, frankly, and comments on YouTube and Twitch and on the live show that we can pull out from, frequently more stuff than so much interesting content that I'm just barely bailing out, trying to bail out the best possible bits that I can find. So, so for everybody that does tune in, this really is one of the best parts of my week. And if I have a rough week and I come in here, just immediate, I feel like an alive, active, potent person in the week. There are good things that we can dig into, and the whole Wandering Homes project is just an ongoing joy in my life.
That's fantastic. That is so good to hear, Dan. I will have to tip my hat to you in turn, sir, that I am continually amazed every time we come in. I'm always excited to come and talk about a topic, especially a very crunchy one where you have clearly done mountains of research. Dan comes in so prepared with pages of notes and multiple visual aids, and I always feel like quite the clod, where I'm like, I don't know, I've thought about that a little bit in the shower this morning. I'm always deeply appreciative to learn more about the topic. And there's certain topics where I'm like, oh, Dan's going to have some great stuff on this. Really, really appreciate learning more about what you've uncovered and what you've thought so deeply about. Clearly, with a great amount of care. Delightful. And I appreciate that we're able to, you know, challenge each other, right? That we without ever getting mean or nasty, but still push each other in just hard enough into discomfort to make for interesting conversations. I think it's delightful.
That's a
and of course wise. I likewise I will likewise thank our fans for tuning in, for keeping us going year after year. Honestly, you're showing up and asking questions and leaving comments in the chat, egging us on. I don't think we would do it without you. So, you know, thank you so much to all of the fans of Wandering DMs. It's super fun. And I'm looking forward to season 8. Our superhero year, Dan.
Our superhero year! That's right! That's right! We're achieving superhero status!
Oh my God, I didn't think about that. Wow. Yes. A two-man army, Paul.
Yes. Excellent. Viewers, if you have any thoughts or comments about things that you've seen on this show that you would like us to dig into more deeply, or topics we've missed, things that you would love to see show up in season 8, please, by all means, leave us a comment here in the YouTube video. A lot of our great conversations come from you guys, whether it's here in the comment section or whether it's on our Discord server. We really appreciate all the thought and care that our great fans put in, and frankly, it really helps keep the show going because you put a lot of grist in our mill, and we really appreciate it. So please leave a comment for us. Tell us what you want to hear about, and we will surely get that into season 8.
Definitely. And of course, remember that you can like, follow, and subscribe to us on places like YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, TikTok, Loops, GitHub. We do have the handle Wandering DMs on those sites. So please look for that. Look and smash that like button.
If you prefer to listen to our show in audio-only podcast form, you can do so. Those podcasts are on our website at wanderingdms.com. They're also available through various podcast carriers like iTunes and Spotify and Pocket Cast. If you're listening to the show right now on one of those other sites and they give the ability to do so, please rate and review our show. That helps other users of that site find us and we really.
We really do. And again, thanks to our patrons who support the show here. If you'd like to join them, please visit patreon.com/wanderingdms. And again, every tier gets you access to our Discord server, where the conversation about everything that we love is continuing 24/7 all the time. And I think you'd find that if you're not there, you'll find that very, very productive with our very wise, very intelligent, very charismatic, very good looking, very high level viewers and patrons. And again, we will be there in about 10 minutes to continue this conversation with our live video after chat. So if you can join us with your thoughts on the season or things you want to see next year, we would love to chat face to face on our Discord server there in about 10 minutes. So we'll look for you there. Now, we are going to have our standard holiday break after today. So we will be off for 3 weeks is the plan. And we'll be back in the new year. I think that's going to be January 11th. Is that right, Paul?
That is correct. That is correct. We will be back with season 8, January 11th.
Our hit dice were improved from a D6 to a D8 in the last 2 years, which is fantastic. So thanks to everybody again for watching as you do. Hope you have a great holiday season and a great new year. And we'll plan to see you in 2026 on January 11th, Sunday, January 11th, to start off season 8. A bunch of great stuff that we have planned and looking forward to next year. And we'll hope you'll join us again then for another thought-provoking discussion.
We'll see you.